I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Allison Greenfield is a singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and music festival organizer from New York City. She was in Lancaster back in April of 2011 for the Launch Music Conference and stopped by the Candy Factory to chat about her two most recent CDs and her Tinderbox Music Festival. Tinderbox is happening September 10th, 2011 at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn and features 24 female artists who are producing innovative, original music. 100% of the festival's net proceeds benefit organizations involved in empowering the next generation of female artists, including Girls Right Now and the Willie Mae Rock Camp for Girls. Check the show notes at woodstovehouse.com for links to the festival and these fine organizations. Well, joining me in the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, is Allison Greenfield. Here in Lancaster for the Launch Music Conference, welcome. Welcome to Lancaster. Have you been to Lancaster before?
No, this is my first time.
Well, welcome. I hope that you're having a good experience.
I am.
So, Allison, you are from New York, and you've got a couple of records out that I've been listening to for the last few weeks. Only Silence, and a record of covers that I want to get into here in a bit. But first, I know you're a multi-instrumentalist. You're credited with playing a lots of stuff like piano, guitar, auto harp. The glockenspiel, of course. Drums, organs. What do you consider to be your main instrument? What is the instrument that you write on and the instrument that you sort of sit down and play when you're just being casual?
I would say my main instrument is piano, because that's what I, as a child, was really drawn to, and I had to beg my parents for piano lessons for like 3 years before they would even let me play. And no one in my family was doing music or anything, and I'm really in love with keys, and I think that's why I like now to kind of play the synths, and the chord organ is kind of like an accordion, but laid out in a keyboard fashion. But one of the reasons when you ask, what do I write on? I write on all of the instruments, and I write very differently for each instrument. I'm very inspired by each instrument in a different way, so I won't, you weren't there last night. I have a song where I just play a rhythm on the drum and sing.
Oh, cool.
And things like that. I'm usually just inspired by the instrument. And so now I used to write, a lot on piano and guitar. And now a lot of times I just want to pick up the instrument and see what is it saying? How am I feeling? And then the song goes with that instrument. And sometimes I transfer them, but I like to write on all the instruments because they all give me different feelings and inspirations.
So along with playing these various instruments, you also have an MFA in creative writing. Mm-hmm. How did you get from pursuing writing to making music?
I've written songs since I was about in fifth grade, there was a very personal thing and I didn't really share it with anybody. And I've always loved writing. And when I was in undergrad, I was like, oh, creative writing, that's what I want to do. I want to be an author. And then I always knew I wanted to get my MFA, and I took a few years off, went back to get the MFA, and I had just started playing with a band in Ohio, in Columbus, a couple months before I left to go to Alabama to get my MFA. I thought you needed a band behind you to like have anyone listen to you. So when I first started playing out, I was like, it was like the Allison Greenfield Band. They had a bunch of names, actually, like the Bandage Stars and the Dichotomy. I like kept changing their backup name, like the name. But
so it was you and a band.
Yeah, it was like Allison Greenfield and the Dichotomy, or Allison Greenfield and the Bandage Stars.
Nice.
Those young days. But then I went, but I started that after I'd already gotten accepted to go to school. Mm-hmm. So then I moved to Alabama. I was doing the whole writing thing, and as I was doing that, I just kept composing more and more and wanting to share the music more and more. And I, played a couple festivals and started going to New York and playing a little bit. And then I kind of got, the bug. I was like in New York and I just wanted to play more there. I wanted to be around that energy. And I finished my LP Tuscaloosa there.
Okay.
But it was named after living in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Okay, yeah.
And about a couple years ago, I moved to New York and I decided, hey, I want to give the music thing a go in the forefront of my career more than the writing thing. But of course it's all tied together. I mean,
yeah,
it's all writing, it's all composing, it's, you know.
Well, let's talk about this the latest EP, Only Silence. How long ago did that come out?
It came out in January, and it was a really, it's, you know, I recorded it and mixed it in my bedroom.
Okay.
And, it was only released on Bandcamp. It wasn't like a big promotional thing. It was just that I'd started changing my sound a little bit and, working on my, you know, trying to see how I record and mix. And, my booking agent suggested, like, well, you have material. Why don't you just put something out, you know, on Bandcamp on your own? And so it was kind of a fun experiment. You know, it wasn't something that was the highest quality production or anything, but it kind of showed, as I saw, you know, you mentioned in your notes that kind of the movement from like the more singer-songwriter-y piano guitar to the
electronic stuff. Yeah.
So it, I thought it was nice in that way.
Yeah, it highlights the diversity of what you do. One guitar song, one piano song, a couple electronic songs. Yeah, and that's good. It's great for someone like me who's being introduced to your music to hear this, the variety in what you do, and I think I got a pretty good sense of what you were like live, even though I saw you in a limited capacity here at Launch. Let's break down some of the songs then. The first one is an electronic song called Cult Spell, and it starts, I think, on a bit of a dark note, at least the feel of the song is. I don't know much about the backstory, and I'm interested to hear about it.
Well, I wrote it after a breakup with a boyfriend who actually grew up in an apocalyptic cult.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the breakup wasn't so great. And, you know, at the time, I it was an easy thing to pin it on, right? Well, you grew up in a cult. How could I?
Yeah, right.
How could things have gone? Well, so, yeah.
At what point in the relationship did you discover that?
Oh, before we were dating.
Okay.
But I can be very open and accepting, and I'm always wanting to learn about things. And, you know, I definitely had a couple of friends that were like, red flag. And I was like, but
maybe not.
But he has all these other qualities. No, right. No, definitely maybe not. And, there was lots of reasons why it didn't work out, but it was easy when you're trying to express something. I don't typically write. I've actually been pretty lucky to have some really great past boyfriends. And so I've never actually had that feeling to write the, like, all those songs, people are like, oh man, you know, he really screwed me over. I was just like, okay, whatever, you know. And then, but still, the sense that I would write from, I feel like I wouldn't ever take a traditional, I wouldn't write a traditional breakup song, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this song, you don't know, like you said, it's not like I'm like, oh, that sucked, you know. I mean, it's more wanting to delve into, I mean, it really is quite interesting. I mean, the things I learned about.
You if know. You would have asked me what this song is about, I would have said that you know, the cult spell is a metaphor for something. I wouldn't have thought that you had just broken up with someone who was in a cult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he wasn't in a cult at the time.
Well, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean.
But you had just left the cult,
right,
yourself.
You know, no. Yeah, now everyone has been like, wow, this Alice in Greenfield girl. Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what, I'm glad that you took it that way, because the whole point is I really do think we can put ourselves under spells. We can be put under spells by other people, by things. I mean, you know, it could be religion or love or your family or... Did you know that when you come, when you go, you make it so hard.
The song I love, Only Silence, is the piano track from that record. And that, to me, I made a comment about it being, it's sounding theatrical. I hear that kind of influence, maybe, of some of the more theatrical rock bands in the past. I love this line in the chorus, if I could rise up and annihilate all those ambitious countries. Can you talk about that? where that came from.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, what I realized is that I sent you the direct download, but you didn't have the liner notes. So
right.
All the words, I don't know if you know Anais Nin, really amazing writer. So there's a really great thing in New York called the Bushwick Book Club. And what happens is a bunch of songwriters get together. They read, it's a book club. You read a book a month, and then every songwriter writes a song inspired by that book.
What a great idea.
It's amazing. Susan Huang runs it, and she's great. And so the first time I did it, we had to read the diaries of Anais Nin, and she is a French writer. And it was, so she was going back and forth. It was in the early 1900s, I would say. She was like 11. It was like 1914-ish or something. So, you know, during the war, and she hated being in New York. So this was a diary entry from January 11th of like 1914, I believe.
Okay.
It's on the thing. And so I took words, I took different words and different phrases from that diary entry, and then I wrote this song.
Got it.
Okay. So those aren't my words. Those are her words. But you know, she was 11. Okay. She was 11 and she wrote that.
Wow.
And you know, and like, I await the great woman who will save, is, you know, she was talking about Joan of Arc, and she, you know, she was this really, to me, a really strong, you know, feminine 11-year-old. She was an incredible writer, and it was just fast. You know, you thought those words were interesting. Well, I think, you know, an 11-year-old girl writing them.
And when was, what time
period? It was like 1914.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
I mean, you should look her up. She's really incredible. And I was blown away by those words, and I really tried to just put my, I mean, I think maybe it's theatrical because I was trying to put myself in, you know, think about when you're 11 and you already may be dramatic, but you're thinking about the war and you're thinking about what it's like to be in France and then be in America. And she hated being in New York. She thought it was really loud. And I could relate to that because I'm from Ohio. You know, I've been living in New York, and you fall in and out of love with New York living there. And sometimes it's just so intense, but you know, sometimes you feel like an 11-year-old kid and you just want all the beeping and the honking and the sirens to stop.
Yeah.
And I really just tried to like put myself, I also started out as an actress as a little kid. So maybe, I think all the arts go together for me. But I was really moved by her writing at such a young age. And so, but you know, it is intense. It's intense for her to write that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of trying to put myself in the shoes of this, you know, French girl being in New York and wanting, you know, everything to be okay in France and being frustrated by the noise of New York and not being in her like home country. So it's pretty intense.
I love only silence in here. There is noise all the time. I love sunny landscapes. I love the sky. Pale blue, pale pink, or a calm white. Here the buildings are so high. Pale blue, pale pink, or a calm white. Here the buildings are so high that one sees nothing. Ambitious countries. Oh, if I could rise up and annihilate all those ambitious countries. Oh, if I could rise up and annihilate all those ambitious countries. I wait the gray.
Let's talk about the song Glitz and Glamour. This is the guitar song.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like this song too. I like the directness of the lyrics. You know, it's straight up. It's to me saying exactly what you're feeling. I'm not sure if it's fictional or it's autobiographical.
Yeah, well, now you'll really learn what it's about. I was the homeschool teacher for Madonna's personal trainer during Madonna's Sweet and Sticky tour in 2008. And so I had just moved to New York, and a couple months after I was there, I got this job, and I gave up the place that I moved into, and I kind of was on the road with them, and I thought, you know, oh, wow, I'm going to be working for Madonna's crew. This could be helpful for my own music. And, you know, it could be cool and I'll actually make enough money to live. And there could be all these positive things. And, you know, it was really, really hard. You know, you're totally a peon. You don't have control of anything. You're here and there and everywhere. You're stuck here. You're going to leave there. No, we're not going to leave there. Going to push you here. You know,
yeah.
Your desires, your needs, the things you want to give to the world don't matter. There's hundreds of people that their lives are based on one person. There's a lot of stress. There's, I don't know if there's a word called like irreality, but like it's not reality. And I was sitting in the, you know, this hotel room in LA and I was writing just the saddest songs. I mean, the saddest songs in the world. Cause I did, luckily I had a guitar with me or else I would have,
yeah,
wouldn't have been pretty. But, and so that was about, you know, I think there was part of me that some of that was like, oh, wow, I'm going to be close to something. Maybe this will help something. And
yeah,
that's the glitz and glamour. And at the end when it says like, you know, because really I was just part of this family and inundated in these other just people's lives that are based on these other people. And
yeah, the one line that
really messy.
The one line that I've always noted in that is the truth is I'm alone here with a family I don't want to see this much of. And I wasn't sure where that came from,
right,
but now that makes total sense.
Right, so it was the personal trainer family, because you're just with them.
And I think you make reference to Lucky Star.
I do, yeah. So, no, you're right. So, yeah, I totally make a reference to Lucky Star. And, you know, I didn't directly say, like, I was working and it was around the Madonna and all this stuff. You know, I mean, if you search enough on Google, you might find out some things. A really funny thing from that was I ended up, Monty Pittman, who is Madonna's guitar teacher and tours with her, was at an open mic that I was at in Brooklyn, and we met and, you know, we became friends and we performed this song together. There's a YouTube clip of Madonna's guitar player playing with me on this song.
That's pretty cool.
Which is really cool and hysterical. We didn't meet during the tour though. We met after in Brooklyn, and now we're friends, and, you know, we're talking about playing together in LA, and, you know, 'cause he has his own stuff too. And so the world works in funny ways, but that's what all that is. And yeah, so you wouldn't know, but yes, once you know, you're like, oh yeah, Lucky Star. Oh yeah, who's this family?
All I need is friends, but I don't really have them. Okay, I mean, I really have them. I just don't have them where I am. It's because of my job. I travel around a lot and I don't exactly get to call the shots. But I thought it was gonna be glitz and glamour. I was gonna meet my dime, or maybe I'd do an opening set for her. It was gonna be glitz and glamour. I was gonna meet my dime, or maybe I'd do an opening set for her. She'd say, hey, you're off the charts. She'd say, no, hey, baby. Baby, play that music. You're the one I like now. You're the one I choose. Yeah, hey, baby, baby, play that music. You're the one I like now. You're the one I choose. Yeah, I'm a lucky star. Hey, you're a lucky star too. Let's be lucky stars and shoot through the roof.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Allison Greenfield from New York City, who's making quite a splash with a new CD of covers. So you have this record of covers that has gotten some press lately. Rock Out with Your
Glock. It's not released yet, actually.
Really?
But it has gotten press.
You wouldn't know that from Google.
It hasn't. There've been very few advanced copies. Yeah, no.
I feel very honored.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, it's a shame I put it on LimeWire last night. I'm just kidding.
I just gave you a funny look, but no one could see that. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be released in July, most likely. And there's a leak. There's an unmastered Gangsta's Paradise leak that's floating around the internet that's on a couple different things. So
that's great. So this is a record of covers, an EP, mostly piano songs, but one Glockenspiel song, rocking out with your Glock out. Mm-hmm. What was the inspiration? What was the drive behind doing an album of covers?
Well, you know, as the world works and you never know anything, when I started playing, I was like, people that play covers, that's dumb. Why do people play covers? Original music is great. And then I moved to New York and I'm, you know, walking down the street one night from the train, and I just start singing Bad Boys, like, you know, from people, a lot of people know, it's Inner Circle, but a lot of people know it from the Cops,
right,
TV show. And I don't know why. I was just singing it, but like singing it in my own way. And I said, hey, what if I did a cover of that? Because I always more thought about the only cover I did before that, I did a Tori Amos cover, which is, you know, I'm very influenced by Tori Amos. And I'm like not really on a first name basis with her.
Me and Tori.
I mean, you know. And so I didn't understand why people did. I feel like I've seen a lot of people do covers where they're very similar to that person. So when you're doing it, it's like, okay, yeah, you sing kind of like that. But then I was singing Bad Boys, and I was like, wow, this is totally different than my genre. What if I tried like a piano ballad version of this song?
Sure.
Just try it out. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were eight and you had bad traits, you... So I did it, and then I played it at a show, and people were just, they loved it. You know, it was just like the reaction was like, wow, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe that's a good thing to do. And then as I did that, you know, another one would come to me. I mean, I don't plan for anything. Usually it just, I'm walking over from the train or I wake up from a dream and okay, that's the next one. You know, I've always been in love with Gangsta's Paradise, you know, since the 90s. Just incredible song. You know, got to give props to Stevie Wonder for the original Pastime Paradise. People also talk about, you know, like as you did Weird Al and his Amish Paradise.
Yeah, I mean, that's
there's all paradises.
Especially here in Lancaster, Amish Paradise
right,
is huge.
Right, and yeah, in Ohio, you know. So I actually tried Gangsta's Paradise on every, all those instruments you mentioned before, I tried it out on like everyone. And for some reason, it only clicked on the glockenspiel. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, look, I'm so funny. It's like, that's the only one it like, rang true on.
Through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Because I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man who didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking, where you walking, or you and your homies might be lined and shook. I really hate the trip, but I got low. But it's like coke, I see myself in the pistol smoke. But I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Some of the other weird stuff I do, which you didn't get to see, is, you know, I'm starting to rap now, and I work with a lot of live beatboxers, and I think it gets attention, and then people are like, whoa, and then the other stuff you do is pretty weird, too.
yeah, if you can follow it up with some really interesting things.
Yeah, so. I think what the covers do is that it's more an energy and a creativity and a spin on things that is kind of also becoming what I do. Is like most people are saying to me now, like, wow, we never know what we're going to get from you.
Yeah.
And that's the point. And the covers are, you know, Mama Said Knock You Out is really not like Mama Said Knock You Out.
No, but
I mean, really.
But I really like the way you do that song.
Thank you.
And if I didn't know the song originally or have any context, I'd be like, this is a really cool song.
Right, you wouldn't know.
No, but I think of that EP, at least the amount of time that I've had it, that's the one that I really, really dig. I'm just like, yeah, this is cool. Yeah. The way you do it, and there's like this break in the middle. Like, it's really kind of sweet, melodic. Mm-hmm. That's a great version of that.
Thanks. Yeah, I play that one, you know, when I go home to Ohio for my grandma and my mom, and they, you know, they love it too. I mean, it's a pretty song.
Yeah, very much. Very
I don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years, busting my ears and putting suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. I'm tired of wrecking job when I drop these lips that'll make you call the cop. Don't you dare stay, you better move. Don't even compare me to the rest of the slice and dice. Competition's paying the price, cause I'm gonna knock you out. Mom's set to knock you out. Yeah, I'm gonna knock you out. Mom's set to knock you out. Don't you dare call this a regular jam. I'm gonna rock this land. I'm gonna take this itty bitty world by storm, and I'm just getting warm. Just like Muhammad Ali, they called him Cash. Just watch me bash his beat like a skull, cause you know I have beef with. Why do you riff with me, that maniac sago? When I pull out my jam, make it ready, cause it might go. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said to knock you out.
Talk to me about this this music festival that you founded, the Tinderbox Music Festival. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear more about that.
Well, I had a blog called Dear Lilith Fair, and the whole thing was, and you know, one of my other wacky things. I was trying to get on Lilith Fair, and I wasn't going to go the R stage route. I'm one of those people who don't really like people to tell me what to do. I don't sometimes like to play along with the rules. But I work hard at what I do, and I decided to have an entire blog dedicated to trying to get on Lilith Fair. I wrote them songs. I have like original songs to Lilith Fair. Every day I would write a blog post, Dear Lilith Fair, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, something and really, you know, goofy things. And it did get some recognition, but I still wasn't big enough to be put on the Lilith Fair because I still needed some, you know, ticket names, even for emerging artists. And then I had run a showcase at South by Southwest with some people, an unofficial showcase, and I realized I kind of had some business chops about me. And then everybody was talking to me about the blog, and a lot of local acts in New York were saying, yeah, I'd love to be on that too, but there's no way I'm going to. And, oh, you know, just kind of, and I said, hey, well, I know all these musicians that blew me out of the water in New York, and no, they won't be heard on a national level, but I kind of think I could put something together. Why don't I just start my own festival? And first I thought maybe it was a dumb idea. I had the idea late at night and I was so excited. And then the next day I was like, ugh, maybe this isn't a good idea. And then the more people I started telling, they were like, that's a great idea. And then, you know, lo and behold, other people want to work on it. And then you have interns and then you have, you know, organizations locally. And then we had sponsors like ASCAP was a sponsor.
Wow.
And, you know, this year we're talking to bigger people that are sponsors. I mean, it's just, and it combines the things that I love because we give back to organizations that empower young women through the arts, like writing and music organizations that
Excellent.
I'm also involved with. And so, I mean, I've been working, you know, with young women since I was, you know, I did a young women's empowerment project when I was on the National Board of Women in Chicago. And I just, you know, empowering young women, I mean, empowering people in general, but that's kind of just been like a niche thing for me.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, what I was able to do, you know, when you start your own business or organization, you're able to put your passions into it. So like I'm promoting women artists who I think are fabulous and innovative. And then we're giving back proceeds to, you know, the next generation of women artists while trying to, you know, keep their heads up in this world that, you know, can kind of be frustrating to live in. I mean, for everybody. But and then this year we are doing a songwriting workshop with Girls Right Now, one of the organizations we benefit, and we are going to have mentors who are performers from Tinderbox and other local New York musicians working with young women, and we're going to create original music with them, and we're going to...
That's excellent.
So it really, because I'm also an educator, I just, you know, I want to do everything on my own terms now, and I just realize I kind of have more to give in multiple capacities, and it combines all the things that I've done. So it's really exciting. So that's what I'm building right now.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Allison Greenfield is a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and music festival organizer from New York City. Her Tinderbox Music Festival is happening September 10th, 2011, at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. For more information about the festival, visit tinderboxmusicfestival.com or link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com. where you can check out show notes, listen to past episodes, subscribe to the show on iTunes, or make a donation to keep the show going. This episode was recorded at the Candy Factory, Lancaster's premier shared workspace. Learn more at candyissweet.com. Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
I act like I don't deal with microphones all the time.